Let's open our Bibles to the book of Isaiah chapter 11. We've been looking at man's spirits and the judgments that the Lord has written. There are judgments written. Please let me say it to us again. In this life, you don't do what you want to do. The spirit you have is more powerful than you. Let me say that again. The spirit inside you is more powerful than you. You have the right. God has given you the privilege to choose which spirit will come upon you. Is that okay? Yes. But it's not just by saying, okay, switch on this spirit, switch off this spirit. No. You make your choices through. We'll look at them as we go on today. Things as simple as the things you admire, what you focus on. Do you get? That's when you choose your spirit. You cannot be focusing on the source of a wrong spirit. And then when you have now done what is wrong, you say, I did not intend to. Of course, nobody intends to do these things. It's like having a road traffic accident, okay? The chances of having a road traffic accident when you are driving is seriously multiplied by two things. Assuming you're a good driver, you're an experienced driver. Two things severely multiply, all right, your chances of having a road traffic accident. One, overspeeding. Two, drinking alcohol before driving. Now, if you do those two things, the chances that you have a mistake happen. Do you see my point? It's a mistake. It's not deliberate. One day, my wife and I were going out in the evening. We were going on one of these roads. And one guy drove past me. Ah. I said, is that he has something? Is that he knows something I don't know? And you know, three times I remember saying that thing. Each of the people I said it to had accidents. You know, the guy just went, pew! Ah. I said, man, this guy must be very skilled, though. You know, maybe they drive fast and furious. Which, of course, I saw one clip the other day. Somebody explained that everything they do in Fast and Furious defeats the laws of physics. So don't think it's going to happen in real life. Anyway, this guy breezed past me. I told my wife, maybe there's something he's chasing. He knows something I don't know. I kept on driving. 15 seconds later, I started doing skiing on the road, across the middle, knock something down, and then hit the fence. The car just kind of rolled some solid whatever and stopped at the fence of the court there. So I said, okay, maybe I thought he knew something I did not know. Apparently, he doesn't. So I kept on driving. My wife said, no, please. Why don't you just stop and help out in case he needs help? I said, all right. So I went and turned and parked. Some other people had gathered. I joined them. And from where I was, I smelled the man. Oh, okay, he drank something. Now, the accident was a mistake. It was an accident. He came out and he was blaming something under the tire. I looked at this man. Anyway, he made a few calls. His bosses arrived because a company vehicle, Hilux, had entered my vehicle and went away. It was an accident, but he set himself up for it to happen by drinking. I don't need to tell you more stories. I have many. So, where I'm going about that, where I'm going using that illustration is that that's how the spirit is. It's what you expose yourself to. Judas did not, let's say it again, did not intend to conspire to kill Jesus. He didn't. His intention was to make quick money. It was the intention. Let's quickly scam them. They will give us 30 pieces of silver. And then when they are trying to catch him, he will escape. Now, you don't blame him because he has done it so many times. He just walk away. That's all. And so the plan of Judas was that, I did my portion. I showed you people where he's supposed to be. Was he not there? Did I not kiss him? Did you not see him? Hey, if you couldn't catch him, why is that my business? To his shock, it was the day that Jesus was not planning to escape. It was in Jerusalem, where the prophet is supposed to die. It was Passover, the time they will offer him up as a sacrifice. He was watching that. Of course, somebody said, how do you know this? Because when he found that they really killed him, he returned their money. He returned, that's how I know, because he returned the money. Basically, this was not supposed to happen. And God knew. So why did he use Judas like that? Because Judas loved money. And you see along the line, I will talk about the preparation or the exercise to receive his spirit. By lying, by stealing, by cheating other people normally, he had opened himself to receive that spirit. So the Bible says that Satan entered him. That was more powerful than him. That's what I mean. When I say the spirit that has possessed, that's why the word in King James is possess. It's an English word though. The Greek has a slightly different expression. Because people, think about it. How will a man strip himself and be walking naked? It's not normal. And then enter into a dustbin to eat food. I know you're hungry. Are you the first hungry person? It's not normal. It's not normal. Why will a man be cutting himself with stones and leaving a tomb? It's because he's possessed by a legion of demons. Listen to me. All of us are possessed by something. See, that's, you see, it's not a bad thing or a good thing to be possessed by. It's what you are possessed with. When Peter and Co. were possessed by the Holy Spirit, they spoke and people looked at them and said, where did this man get this wisdom from? They didn't go to school now. Gamaliel, are they your student? That one, a fisherman, now, don't you know him? I said, they have been with Jesus. No. Being with Jesus was a preparation to receive something. We quote that all the time, and the reason that they had been, that was their own interpretation. The real thing that happened is the Bible said they had been filled with the Spirit. But being with Jesus has something to do with it. That had prepared them. The Spirit did not possess those who were in the marketplace. The Spirit came upon those who were in the upper room, like he said. So being in with Jesus prepared them. Now, notice that. That preparation for receiving is critical. Will you be able to obey the will of God for your life? It's not a decision, it's a spirit. Will you be able to face the challenges of your life? It's not a decision, it's a spirit. Will you be able to stand in the day of adversity and stand, you know, with the name of the Lord on your lips, refusing to bow down despite the fact that there's serious threats against your person? It's not a decision, it's the spirit that's inside you. Brethren, I think, you know, when it comes to grace, and I told you it's one of my favorite topics, if not the favorite topic in Christianity. Mine, that's grace. I love teaching on grace. One of the things about grace you must learn is grace gives you where to go and labor so that God can do what he wants to do in your life. Now, let me say that again. Grace will teach you. Okay, this is how grace works. You labor where God says, this is where your strength, I'll give you little strength. We're talking about little strength yesterday, Elder John. Use that little strength. I'm the one that will do great works through you. I'm the one that will stand, you know, all my life, all right, I used to think that David was a determined young man. So he saw a lion and he didn't know when he, He charged at the line. Warn yourself. He saw a bear. He said, bear. They didn't tell you the story of the lion, Abby. There's antelope in the bush. I told the lion, there's antelope. Go there and catch. Don't come here. So when he finished the lion, the bear, he said, did you hear the story? Don't you listen to news? That this flock is out of bounds. And he attacked the bear and killed it also. As a determined young man. Until one day we were studying about David. Then it dawned on me that those things happened after Samuel had poured oil on him. That's not natural, David. A man in his right senses will not risk his life because of one sheep. After all, if there is life, there's hope. And if you told me that, sir, I didn't agree. I grabbed my sheep from the hand of the bear. I will personally beat you. Now, what kind of nonsense is that? I wouldn't encourage any of my children to try that. Leave the sheep now. Do you know how many sheep I have? How many sons do I have? Warn yourself. Look, if David's father had heard that story, the flogging would have given that young boy. He wouldn't have gone to celebrate him. Say, my boy, that was reckless. And that's actually what happens sometimes. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will do reckless things. Doesn't make it normal. Other people go and try it tomorrow. Drowning, they shall drown. Do you get my point? But when the Spirit comes upon you, you start doing things. You start doing things. You will dance a kind of dance that you did not know you could dance. You say, Pastor Dami, you said the digo. Hey, they won't know that. The normal Dami is as stiff. No, this is what I grew up in deeper life. How can you dance? No. How can you? Where is the dance going to come from? The dancing season of life. When you are doing like this. Children of God. Yes, children. Was that not what you were doing? But as soon as you see the man begin to move. You look like it. Who is this? He says, the spirit of David. It's the dedication of the temple. Say, watch him. His shirt will soon fall off. It's a spirit. It's a spirit. Please don't forget it. It's a spirit. That's what we are in life. So what we do every day is to just go and expose ourselves so that a spirit or the other will enter. The spirits are in two groups. Holy, evil. There's no neutral. The spirit is either holy or it is evil. So what you just do is just expose yourself. And if it's fine, now listen to this. Let's say this clearly again. We use a lot of logic when we are teaching, but we have to be careful that we stop using logic that's not logical spiritually. For example, people use this logic. Holy Spirit is inside you. Praise God. An evil spirit cannot stay there. Holy Spirit will be in the same place as an evil spirit. Can that happen? No. And all of us will say, no. It sounds nice. Except that it's not true. The truth is that the Holy Spirit is inside you. You are born again. That does not drive out evil spirits, brethren. It doesn't. It does not. It's not a space that is limited in dimension so that, I reach here first. It's not like that. That logic, see, I learned it when I was young. I grew up. As I was teaching the word of God, reading my scriptures. See, whatever theory you have, pass it through the scriptures. Read it. Read there. Like I keep on saying, the Bible says, then he separated the light from the darkness. The day I looked at that, I realized that light can coexist with darkness. When you look at light physically, darkness physically, we say it is absence of light. Spiritually, it is not. Darkness is a force. Light is a force. It's not a color thing. It's not a spectrum matter on the electromagnetic scale. No. It's a force. So the prophet Kenneth Hagin will tell us in his days, and I've heard it from many other preachers, they will see a pastor operate by the Holy Spirit. One moment. The next moment is operating by an evil spirit. One moment. Another moment. Just minutes apart. And in fact, one of the things they told us, all right? I won't say I have much personal experience with that, but we followed these men, we learned from them, okay? One of the things they told us is that, what happens, and okay, this one, I kind of know a bit about this. A lot of men, now please be careful, if a young man around you is anointed, don't carry him on your head. I mean, like, stop blowing him up and making him look like a great man of God. He's a boy. He has to return in subjection to the elders. Let them instruct him. If your son is filled with the spirit from the mother's womb, that doesn't spare him of Cain. In fact, when he comes, I'm John the Baptist. I was filled with the spirit from my mother. I say, come on, kneel down there. Flog his back. That was what they did not do with Samson. And that's why he became what he became. What I'm saying is, so a lot of young people get anointed. Especially, let's say, I don't know, I've not been to campuses much to minister in the last many years, okay? But for those of you who go there a lot, you will see it. One of the things you will help them with is to help them calm down. Remove their title. Call them by their first name. Sit down. Say, please come and help me remove my shoe. The most anointed one amongst them. It's crucial. Let him be the one to carry your bag. Let him not send somebody else. That one they are calling pastor. Do you get me? Is the one that the one, yeah, that one they call papa is the one that you insist you carry your bag. You know why? For his own good. For his own good. For his own good. Because a lot of young people, when they get anointed, they start feeling special. Humility disappears. See, pride goes before destruction. That is a fact, whether you're anointed or you're not anointed. A haughty spirit will pull you down. Whether you're anointed, or even if the haughtiness of spirit was caused by your anointing, you're still going down. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of people who operate early in life with the Holy Spirit, sometimes the anointing, for whatever reason, dies down. They are the ones that easily open their hearts for familiar spirits. And those who knew them when they were young, we still think they are operating by the Holy Spirit, not knowing that the Holy Spirit had departed from Saul, and evil spirit had replaced it. The suit will still be fine, maybe even finer. The tongue will still be sweet, but it has outbodied. You know, that special word I created. But, you know, the glory has departed. Ichabod. The glory has departed. Please, let's bear that in mind. So, you know, that logic we use, okay, it's not correct. You will see, before we end, I hope to get there. You have to deliberately let go of any evil spirit. You have to eject it. Now, when we say evil spirit, we don't necessarily mean demons. People sometimes think that every spirit is a personality. No, it's not every spirit that's a personality. It's not every spirit. Even though the dividing line can be difficult, if you have a wrong spirit, eventually a demon will take over that place and sit down there. So anything you have that is wrong, please be deliberate to get it out of your life. Basically, what we say, God has given you something called your spirit, and he has deposited, now, the old man, let's get over that again, let's explain that one more time. The old man has a kind of spirit. The new man has a new spirit. called the Spirit of Christ, the seed of God. These are words used for that thing. It's inside you. When you give your life to Christ, Jesus literally, the Lord Jesus literally takes you and breathes into you the Spirit of life. Literally, he does that. Whether you feel it or not, he does. It's the reason why next morning you want to go to church. It's the reason why somebody is preaching, suddenly you are interested. At that point, you are a baby in Christ. But that Spirit has an attribute of drawing you towards the milk of the Word of God. The Word of God suddenly becomes, like they say, palatable. That is, your palate likes to sense it. It rubs on your tongue and your taste buds, and it tastes nice. Just a week before, you didn't want anything. You didn't want anything to do with these church people. But the moment you give your life to, now it's called the Spirit. So what he does is that he breathes into you a new spirit. That's what happens when we are believers. Are you getting my point? All right. That's what it means to be a believer. The receiving that new spirit from God. It's called the seed of God dwelling in us. All right. But then the point I'm making is that in that space of your being, other things dwell there. That spirit that God gave you, Paul told us, it may be defiled. It causes defilement of spirit. Something else can rub inside it. And there are all kinds of things in this life. I don't want to go over that now, step by step, because I'm trying to get into the thing we have for today. Is that okay? But just know, which is why I'm talking about this, that you have a duty to preserve that space. You have to do a duty to make sure that to make that spirit that God has placed inside you take over your whole being. Later, we'll share on Pastor Banky in 10 about what it means to be spiritual. All right? A spiritual man, all right? Because you are a person, a whole being. When you make your spirit dominate, when you work hard to make sure your spirit dominates your whole soul, then you are said to be spiritual. Do you get my point? It's not that you are hearing voices. Are you getting my point? So, when your spirit starts dominating, and the way you do that is by the Word of God. It's by, because, you know, the Spirit of God has different expressions in this life. Anytime you find an expression of the Spirit of God that you have not experienced, you go for it. You go for it. One day I was in the banking hall. Just to use the illustration. I was in a banking hall and the banking officer talked to a customer beside me. What he said to me didn't look bad at all. And the woman could have reacted differently. The way she reacted to this banking officer, I got angry. Now, I'm not even a third party. To call myself a third party in that situation is not even right. I'm a fourth party. None of what was going on was my business. She had an issue. The guy asked her a simple question. And the woman answered in such a nasty way. Ah. And now, fifth party. Because it was none of my business. I was provoked. Then the guy answered her with the gentlest spirit around. I was embarrassed for my wickedness. I don't know whether I get my point. There was some video I saw a few days ago. I actually forwarded it to my wife. I said, look at that. She said, oh, so smooth. That is, you know, a salesman, a customer came in. And when you say customer bad, the man asked a simple question. He said, are you looking down on me? Is it because I'm a woman? The guy asked a simple question. It was the way he was answering. The way he was answering each one. I said, no, God, you see, it was so beautiful. I followed him. It was doing his business. I know he learned it, okay? But that's what they call a spirit. So when you see something like that, the Bible talks about the ornament of a meek and gentle, a quiet spirit. Not everybody has it, though. It's an ornament of a meek and quiet or gentle spirit. It was sent to Christians to go after it. Not they didn't all have it. So, one of the worst problems, let me tell you. Those of you who are married, let me just tell you now. I will get to my message in a moment. You don't even will talk about this marriage matter. Your wife is always saying, I'm in trouble now. I will preach the whole, it's called the whole council. The whole council. And the one that shook you the most is the one you need. You know what I mean to shook you the most? The one that the needle, when they release the word, they enter. You know, can I take a moment of it? I won't take a long time, all right? The major problem, yeah, I've seen it up and down. One major, I think it's number one, but let me just say it's one of the major ones. But for me, I think it's number one. Problem in marriage, eh? Is for the two parties to agree. Now, not mentally now, in practice, who is the boss? The word is boss. The word is what? Boss. I tell, you see, women, listen to me. If you want your home to be twice as happy as it used to be, go and just treat your husband like you treat your boss at work. That's all. Just do that for 1 week. Do it as bad as that. Like, if he calls, answer, sir. If he gets angry, calm down. Don't reply. The reason why you keep replying is because you don't know. You don't recognize him as the boss. You don't. Not because he's bad. Your boss is worse. You know how cantankerous that your boss is? You know how obnoxious that human being is in your office? If your husband tries a quarter of his behavior, there will be fire on that mountain. And the funny thing, you will expect the neighbors to understand. But then why are you shouting? No, no, please, listen. I want to hear, or guy yourself. Except that one thing, if this man was the district manager in your office, it can be twice as bad, there will be peace in that office. Have you noticed you don't hear shouting from his angle? Except he's the one shouting. Have you noticed that the assistant manager to him dares not raise his voice or her voice when he's talking? That's why your office doesn't have noise. It's lack of that attitude at home is why there's noise. That's all. Most of us have bosses that are more terrible than our husbands. But you get there, what do you find? Everybody's at the desk. Good morning, sir. Good morning, sir. Good morning, sir. Good morning, sir. And he answers, what's good about the money? And you laugh. If your husband then say, what is good about the money? You will gather the children for a conference. But you laugh it off. Now, you know the point, I pray we'll understand it. There's a reason why the Bible uses the word sub. Let me tell you what submission is. Unfortunately, this is what most women practice. Let me tell you what submission is. What submission is. Listen up. Two of us, okay, like, I'll give an example. Yeah, beautiful. University. All right? It's a beautiful place to, at least, I have experience in that. You go to the department. My current HOD is the most junior of everybody. If I had to sit with him to give him tips on how to handle his seniors. Get my point? When I began to train medical students, he was far from writing jam. At the university, we appoint him your head of department. So what do you do? Now, a lot of us who don't realize, okay? Of course, if you're in that setting, you understand that's how this thing goes. Just for a year, then they renew it 2 years max, then the thing is over. But what, let's talk about the period that this person is in charge. Does it automatically become the senior of his seniors? No. When they still call him, he still answers, sir. When he still wants to see them, he'll still get up from his own office and rush down to the, good morning, sir. Is it just that? However, if he says, there will be a meeting so and so time, I'll make sure I leave everything I'm doing to be there, partly to help him assert his authority. That's what is called submission. I'll give an example. We're having a meeting the other day. I kept on saying, so, like my HOD said, even though he and I discussed some things behind, and they gave him tips. When we came outside, I kept on saying, you know, my HOD said, I kept on using that expression. Let everybody know, there's a boss here. I don't care how young he is, he's the boss. It doesn't mean that I have forgotten all the things I know he doesn't know. Or that he doesn't know that this man knows more things that I will learn over the next 5-10 years. So if I disagree with him, it becomes a word of advice. Well, come, they don't do like that too. No, do this. Okay, you say, okay, sir. Outside, I say, no, that's not what the HOD said. Now, I'm talking about how some of us who are senior are handling it. Why? Trying to make his life easier. Trying not to be that keep on saying, don't be difficult to lead. A lot of people are difficult to lead. For example, if you're a wife, if your husband has to explain, I explain, you go explain until he's tired, you're a problem. I tell my wife, I said, see, if it does this, I say, if a stranger explained like this, won't you do what he said? So what is now my privilege? If a stranger convinces me, I will do what the stranger says, true or false. If I'm convinced through his arguments. So if I need that argument to make you go in one direction, then you have done me no favors. You have not yielded to me at all. Let the fact that I'm the one that said it weigh heavily. But what if you are wrong? Then you call. You know, there's something they used to say, those days in the military. Even in secondary school, I learned it. They say, obey before complain. The reason why they said is that your leader must say your yielded attitude first. You cannot be seen to be an opposer. You know, the word for opposer in the Bible is Satan. It's called Satan. It's in the scripture. It's Satan. Now, I've just this story to tell you what they call submission. Now, but you know what the love would do? And if, following all those women online that like to destroy homes, how to assert yourself. That's what people try to do. And that's exactly what destroys the harmony. Now, a lot of Christians they won't go direct. They not resort to witchcraft. How to manipulate your husband. It's still the same thing. There are times I dress. I wear a suit. There are times that's English suit. There are times I wear knicker and a t-shirt. You see the same banking. Do you follow my point? Witchcraft and overt, rebellion is still the same thing. See, it's rebellion. You know what you will do? You will rub your husband's back. You know, he had just come back the whole day. Ask him, how was your day? How was your day? And I now give him the food he likes the most. And while he's eating, at that time when the okuroko hits the back of his tongue, it's time to come in with your request. You're a witch. You are not even, your witchcraft is overt. You are the type that you should catch and stone. And now you know witches. By the time this is how you know them. This is man of God. I'm telling you people. How you know a witch is that? By the time they now finish the witchcraft, when the man doesn't agree, they will not provoke. They will not be provoked. They will not be angry. He said, she never believed that this, all this one was manipulate. You know what they call manipulate? It's witchcraft. The Lord is good. Rebellion is witchcraft. So a lot of Christians don't use rebellion, they use witchcraft. So when there are women, when they gather other women to teach them, they just teach them witchcraft. And then, of course, those kind of people, they complain. If a woman... Look, run a women ministry and tell the truth. Let's see who will follow you. Remember the story I told you guys, one day I was in church, pastor was preaching, it was Women's Day. One woman was beside me. She was tearing the place apart. Who? The pastor said, some women are like this, are tough. They can hold a man up by his shirt. Oh, she was jumping up. She had a, she would take her Bible. Woo, 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 woo. You know? She wouldn't see that. She was beside me. She was on her feet. He said, oh, there are some women. There are some women. Oh, they are tough. In their hearts, they're like men. Oh, this woman is on her feet. It was Women's Day. Finally, the pastor finished that part of his service. He said, no matter the kind of woman you are, women are different from men. The woman sit down. She was telling me, she just sat down like. She said, it's one thing a man is supposed to do, a woman is supposed to. She said, no. Right beside me. The man said, men and women are different. She said, we're the same. And then here, I was sitting down there. The woman was right. I can see picture where we sat in that hall that day. Such women will follow your women ministry if you are telling the truth. Lie, lie. But go there and lie every time. They will follow you very well. They teach people how to assert themselves and how to manipulate through these different techniques. They follow. The truth is not popular. Now, I'm going to ask one question I asked once in a while. How did I get here? Yeah, so I'm talking about when you see a good spirit. You know, that's why I went into that. The fact of the meek and gentle. If you see it, you want it. You want it. It allows the spirit of Christ in you grow. These are the things that feed the righteousness inside your soul. It helps it grow. That's the point I'm making. There are things that, you know, we'll talk about that as we go on. I think we should open somewhere. Okay, I haven't read it actually. All right, so let's read that. Isaiah chapter what? 11, okay. Let's read a few verses there. Isaiah chapter 11. If I think I've already started preaching the message I have for today. But let's just read this. It's talking about the righteous reign of the branch. My Bible heads that portion. It said, then a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. The spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The spirit of wisdom and understanding. That's one. There's another spirit he calls the spirit of counsel and strength. There's one he calls the spirit of knowledge and the fear of God. Now, all of these are attributes of the Spirit of the Lord. I hope you're getting my point. So when the Spirit of the Lord rests on someone, what it will bring is wisdom and understanding. There's another aspect of that Spirit that's called counsel and strength. And one more aspect, knowledge and fear, and the fear of the Lord. Now, please bear this in mind. Now, we've read some scriptures in previous times. Let's just read them so that we'll be that we read a number of these things. One of them from the book of Malachi. Let's quickly go to Malachi chapter 2. Don't bother opening to it. But if you go to that, it was talking about the people who put away their wives for flimsy reasons so that they can, in quote, enjoy themselves. He said, but no one has done so who has a remnant of the Spirit, that is the right Spirit, the Spirit of God. And what did that one do while he was seeking a godly offspring? He said, take heed then to your spirit and let no one deal treacherously against the wife of your youth. Now, there are so many things to say about this, but let's stick with the main reason why I read it. He said, take heed to your spirit. Take heed to your spirit. And that's what we're talking about. You have an assignment to assess the kind of spirit that's working in you. Take heed to it. Watch out. The Lord gave you that assignment to purify your spirit. He said, cleanse yourselves of all defilement of flesh and spirit. We're focusing on the spirit. So the spirit can be defiled. Cleanse yourself. I said earlier, you have a duty to remove the tears out of your life. You have a duty to separate your light from your darkness. If you find darkness in you, remove it. Let me tell you what light does to darkness. Two things. Number one, it shows you it is there and it makes the darkness uncomfortable. But you have to eject the darkness. Light, listen to me. In spiritual things, light does not automatically expel darkness. Darkness is a spiritual force. You must get rid of it out of your life. Very crucial. Now, another point I should say or remind us of, I was talking about grace. Remember I was mentioning something about grace? This is the principle. I was saying that grace, you labor, God gives you where your strength should be. Labor in that area. And then the bigger things, please, I need to say it again. The bigger things, it is His power that will produce it. It is the power of God that will produce the big things that He wants to do in your life. Grace will teach you where to labor. For example, let's talk about your future, your destiny, prosperity, and stuff like that. God has taught us that this is how Christians make it in their future. One, be faithful in little things. Be faithful with money, and then be faithful in that which belongs to somebody else. Three things. Any Christian that's not exercising himself or herself in these three things is not depending on God for a brilliant future. The world, let me say it again. Christianity is radical and is foolish to the world. Did you get my point? To the world, it is foolish. To the world, it is foolish. What is it, self? Are you the one that owns this company? After how much are they paying you? That's how the world reacts to your dedication to your office. That's how the world reacts when you are fully committed to a place where you work. Are you getting my point? That's how the world reacts. But Jesus said, that is what I am judging you on. In that which belongs to who? Another person. In that which belongs to another person. We've told the story of Jacob again and again. Jacob was faithful in the house of Laban. So faithful was he that Laban thought nobody ever stole from his head. Yes. He never lost anything to stealing all those years. Not because nobody stole, but because Jacob made sure he replaced it. Including the ones that animals, the wild beasts tore. He blamed Jacob. And Jacob said, no problem. He replaced it. Be honest with me, that I'm preaching sometimes. And when I hear some things people do, I say, Abba, your own self too much. I hope you're getting my point. But that's what the Lord wants. I've told the story of Aji Letono many times. Christianity is foolish. Until you've done something foolish with your life, you've not believed God yet. That's when I say foolish now, like, for your information, you don't think it's foolish. It's the people around that think it is foolish. To you, you came to that conclusion from studying the word of God, from hearing godly counsel, and from, let me put it like this, from denying yourself. That's one critical thing. I don't know, we don't teach you so much this is denying yourself. Denying yourself. You deny yourself. Just say, okay, it's called self-denial. You deny yourself. Aji Letono, a brother, a church guy, all right? Sort of defrauded him. And the Lord said, pay him. You know, this kind of thing that anybody sitting as judge, I don't want to tell the story again, all right? But basically, he said, that business you're doing, because we are partners in another business, any business, that other business you did that made money, they didn't make money on that first one. He said, a part of it belongs to me. RG said, you can't be serious. Is that a joke, right? I want threatening to sue. RG said, I better sue so that we'll go to court. Let's trash this thing out once and for all. And as he turned around to leave, he heard a voice inside him say, pay him. Give him the money. He paused like, Lord, That can't be the Lord. No, no, no. This is not right. Then the urge was stronger. Give him the money. I'm sure that guy was surprised. That guy was expecting a fight. He said, no problem. Now, that man didn't have access to his account. He's the one that knows how much money he made. He showed the guy the account. This is how much money I made. The guy said, half belongs to me. I wrote him a check. Half. You can take it. 2 years later, that other fellow was wiped out of business permanently. Ajiletuno became very wealthy. American government knew him. He was doing contracts for them during the war. During the Second War, he was building transport vehicles, tanks, equipment, construction equipment. He's the man we're talking about today. The Lord said, pay him. Christianity is like that. Sometimes, see, your faith has always been reasonable. I told you, you don't have faith. All the unbelievers said, I like this guy, you know. I like him. You don't have faith. Unbelievers. They are not gossiping about you behind you, how foolish you are. I talked with one lady once. I'm wiser now. Okay? We're arguing after some time. He said, I'm sorry for you. I wonder where she is now. I mean, didn't see her. I saw her a few months down the line, but didn't see her again. But I still remember. I'm sorry for her. Ah. Everything she was sorry about. All right? Scriptures, just things we learn from the world. But it's later on, when you start getting older, don't everybody respect the scriptures the way you do. It's not their final authority. Christianity can be that. You will make some. Now, listen, to you is not foolish, please. If what you are doing is foolish to you, it's foolish. Do you follow my point? If you think it is foolish, don't do it. I am saying that you think it's reasonable. Other people who don't understand the scriptures are the ones saying it is not reasonable. So this is what grace does. It tells you where to labor. That's why I refer to those three things. Faithfulness in little, money, and that which belongs to somebody else. That doesn't make any sense when it comes to your future, your destiny. But grace says, this is what you do. Then I was using Jacob as an example. I will now bring the blessing into your life. When, you see, how do you, people talk about, have you heard this before? You build up yourself on faith. How do you do that? See, listen. You hear the word. Is that true of us? Faith comes by what? Hearing. It's correct. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing and hearing. Actually, it's not hearing, it's hearing and hearing. Okay? Then you said that building up yourself on your most holy faith. Praying, people now they speak in tongues a lot. That was not what James was saying, actually. He was saying something else. All right? Was it James or Jude? Okay, Jude, sorry. That's not what Jude was saying, okay? But we look at it and say, that's how you build up your faith. Actually, that's not how you build up your faith. We're not talking about faith now. Of course, the word of God is crucial. But the exercise of faith, you want to build up your muscle. What do? You exercise it. How do you exercise your faith? We used to say, you believe God to cure your small headache so he can cure you of brain tumor tomorrow. That's not exercise of faith. Exercise of faith is using that faith to obey God in little things. Do you hear what I said? Yeah. You use that faith to obey God in what appears little. When great faith will be needed, he will give it to you by himself. Brethren, how you exercise your faith is not in receiving things, it's in obeying. It's obedience. How do you exercise your faith? When they say forgive, forgive. This is your faith to forgive. Do you follow my point? Yeah, that's what you do. You use your faith to forgive. How do you exercise your faith? Use your faith to be faithful in that which belongs to somebody else. How do you exercise your faith? When they say do something, when the word of God tells you, do something that's not reasonable to everybody else, but you go out of your way to do that which God is saying. When the time comes, use your faith again, that's part of it, to be generous. No, these are the things you use your faith for. Then when, listen to this, when great faith is needed to receive something from God, you will find the faith in your heart. That's what grace does. Grace tells you where to labor. Now, part of grace, this is what I'm going to now. What grace also does, listen to this, when you have a particular kind of spirit, it attracts things into your life, whether you are begging for them or you are not begging for them. Part of the principle of double-mindedness is your spirit is attracting one thing, you are asking for another thing. Did you catch that? See, as you are seated, for those who study mystical sciences, or is it science? It's not science now, is it? Mystical things. They talk about an aura. Do you get my point? Now, that thing actually is true. Everybody has an aura around them. Your person is attracting something and repelling something in the realm of the spirit. That's the way it works. You know the funny thing? A lot of people who are praying against some certain things, they attract. Let me get it. You know, there's something I said over the last few weeks. If Satan presents his plan to you and you start praying about it, you're actually attracting the plan. You are not repelling it. There are things that Satan will bring, and that's why I've been telling those of you who follow false prophets. They are ruining your life. They are not helping you. You know, there was something my mother said to me long ago. We were just talking about life experiences. When I was young, there was one particular woman. I look back now, and I realize the woman was nothing but a false prophet. Yeah. And see, please, listen to this. All of you, please pay attention. It's very common in our setting, Africa. A lot of people follow false prophets as a habit. They took the Babalawo, the Dibia, and brought him or her to church. They are still following. How you know you follow a false prophet? Let me tell you. There are many ways, but one of them is that every little decision, you have to get approval. A prophet is guiding your life. There's one man of God, I won't tell you his name. Whether it's in this hall or it's not in this hall, maybe it's in the other hall or it didn't come today, I don't know. But he wanted to marry. They took his name to those prophets, his wife's people. Pray, oh, should our daughter marry this person? They prayed and prayed and prayed. Amen. The Lord said he's not the one. So, you know, I have different names. One of my names is Daniel, all right? So assume they took bank holiday to the place. The prophet said, it's not the one. It's not, holy jah says it's not the one. So they took the name. So the woman came and told the bros, she didn't agree with them. I mean, do you get my point? She says, she's not following them. It's the family people. So the man of God now said, all right, you know, I have another name called Daniel. Tell them, Daniel wants to marry you. So she carried Daniel and went there. They said, pray. He's the one. Okay, good. Let's go and do our marriage now. She didn't say we are the one. See, it really happened. I'm not making it up. It really happened. Not knowing. They did not even see far enough to know that two people can have, one person can have two names. Now, it is not them I'm talking about. It's you that goes to them. You that will get up in the morning and say, let me go and ask them what they think. As a man of God, I used to teach us this. And my mother would tell you, see, that man was the deliverance she had, that our household had. This man I want to tell you about. He was a preacher. I've told the story many times. People go to him to pray. So one day we were in his office, my mother and I. She took me there for him to pray for me. I was going to school. And the man was now telling stories. Just the way my mom came, other people also come. And I don't know about Eastern Nigeria much. In Western Nigeria, it's very strong. It's a culture there. It's how dare you do something when they've not seen? You present everything you are doing to somebody who will see. And if you want to build a church there, you are not seeing. Just know that it's you and disciples that will go to that church. Congregation, large people are not following you. Even serious preachers a lot of times have turned themselves to nothing but seers because of the demand of the people. So one woman came with the son. and brought the picture of three ladies that the son wants to marry, that this man should pray and decide which one of them the boy should marry. And if there's none of them, of course, you let them know. Now, I was very young. I was just going to university, those early days. I thought this man should pray. I mean, it's a normal thing now. The acts of prayer. It was a reaction in his response to them that surprised me. He said he told them that I don't pray such nonsense prayers. Ah. He looked at the woman. Looked at the boy. He said, your son is sleeping with the three of them. You know, that's a true prophet. Are you getting my point? Now, he wasn't deciphering the Holy Spirit. No, he just knows life. He said, this is your son. He's sleeping with these three girls. The woman said, how is he possible? He said, he's here now. Ask him. He confronted him. He said, now you now bring a picture or your fornicatious arrangement. I should now be the one to decide which one. Do you know, when I became older, I wanted to go back and shoot that guy myself. That's why I said, why wouldn't he pray? The man said, I don't pray such rubbish prayers. It's when I told you guys before that if a woman says, maybe a woman has had like three girls and he says, I want a boy because of the way our society can be. He doesn't have a problem. He'll pray, see, that you will conceive and have that boy in the next 9 to 10 months. It's guaranteed. If you don't want, don't go near his office. But there's only one caveat. You can't be a Christian when he prays that prayer. He will never pray that prayer for you. He said it too. He said he doesn't pray that for Christians. A Christian, he will drive you out of the office. He said, for unbelievers, he said, I just want to show them the power of God. Why am I telling the story? Remember, I was talking about my mother, right? So my mom said he was the one that delivered them. There was this other lady, the one I was telling you about, and I said the story with one of those seers. We look back now, they're false prophets. We know. I've been in with her. I was with at least 2 of my relatives when they went. It was like the whole extended family went there. Now, a lot of you listen to me this morning. I know you have families that do these things. First, you have to stop. Then teach them to stop. It never brings good. It never brings good. It never brings good. You want to do business? You first carry it to God. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't ask somebody to pray for you. I didn't say that. But to get approval from a prophet, will it be good? Will it be bad? It's not Christianity. You should have your spiritual sense. You should pray in your own house. If God wants to send a prophet to you, he can. Should your pastor pray for you when you want to do a business? Why not? You want to dedicate a business? Call your friends. Call brethren. You don't even need a pastor. See, let me just tell you something. It's a secret. Okay, but if I not tell you, I will tell you. These pastors don't have more power than the rest of the church. Did you hear what I said? They don't have. Don't let anybody make you like, we are the anointed ones. See, go to God there. See, you want to start a business? Pastor say he doesn't have time to come. There's no problem. Let the other people, your friends, your church, no, brethren. Pastor, please pray for us to say, the Lord will go with you. Hey, good. You people should go there, join hands, and listen to me, and make a simple request. You know what happens to us is that we've been swept away by certain testimony. One man of God will come and say, I went to that business that day. And I said that. So in our brain, that is how progress comes. There are many people who have succeeded in business. They knelt down in their houses by themselves, prayed over that business, didn't call any pastor, no prophet, nobody, and the thing exploded. I know one guy, his name is Jabez. Don't you know about Jabez? The Jabez will go to look for, what's the name of that our guy? Melchizedek. Jabez is not go to Melchizedek and say, ha, okay, Melchi, see, here's my tithe. Come and pray. We do a lot of those things. And I wish we would understand. That's not Christianity. You want to do business, and look for who's one pastor around? Say, Pastor Bank is there. Do you have anything there? Let's tithe for last month. You bring it. Money, sir. And this is our tithe for last month.
Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Hey, but there's this business I want to do. You first bribe him to pray. You see, all of you, you, him, you know, God in heaven, you're looking at, look at these people. If you and your friends are really serving the Lord, circle that place and join your hands and pray. Don't turn these wee pastors to idols. And I hear they say, there's a grace to cover your business. So leave all those things. See, leave all those things. Jesus does not use intermediaries. No, I hear people say, they cover the Father. Which Bible did you read that thing from? Someone that tell you a story. I was sleeping one night and I woke up. One of my sons, I knew that his business, they were burgling him right there at that point in time. And the Holy Spirit told me, that's why you are looking for a cover. Insurance. Some people pay more money to secure this spiritual insurance than they give to insurance companies. Do you know that? She says it's a greater insurance. See, let me tell you the truth. Sometimes we Christians, we behave as if we have designed spiritual scam. And I think it's bad. See, I'm sorry. Please, I'll just preach my own. If you like, throw it away. If you like, believe it. All right? I'm not here to persuade anybody, argue with anybody. Just say the truth. The Bible said that, you know, this ministry is prospering because we are tied into this one. It's rubbish. I say it boldly, it's pure nonsense. You hear what I said? It's provoking nonsense. That's nonsense that provokes. I'm sorry to say, see, please, I don't know why, I'll get to my message in a moment, all right? But it's a prophetic thing, so let me do it. See, Nigeria of today, I thank God for a lot of ministries and all of that that support smaller ministries. I thank God. There are a lot. But some people there, in their drive, in their manipulatory spirit, the manipulative spirit that they have, in thinking they can control things in life, they look at the big man of God, big ministry. See, this ministry, they have grace. So they carry and be tightened to the place where there's grace. That thing is rubbish. See, there is no basis of it in scripture. If you want to give to a big man of God, it's called honor. So there's nothing wrong with it. I'm not saying honor is wrong. But if you are giving to tap grace, you are nothing but Simon the sorcerer in modern days. It's a Simon the sorcerer spirit. I believe in honoring fathers. The Bible said the son honors his father. So if you decide that, oh, this ministry is like they've been a father to us, you understand? I want to honor them. Please do that. There are girls who are going around shopping. You know they call shopping. They like the grace upon Bishop Oyedepo. They don't know him. They have never listened to him. There's no. Anytime they listen to him is to get tips. How does he raise money? How does he get money? How does he arrange? You know, that's what they are looking for. The man has never poured anything into them as a spiritual substance. Is that sending money? Some people do that to get connection. Yeah, they give offerings to be noticed. Because let me be honest with you, we are human beings. If every time I sit in my office, you come, good morning, sir. Yes, sir. We're just passing through town. I want to see you and drop $1 million on the table. See, if you do that 4 times. Oh boy. The fifth time, if you pass the road there, and they tell you parked inside here, I will come to the office to see whether you came to see me. Pastor Bank, you will do that. $1 million, is it? What are you talking about here? And I'm not ashamed to admit it.
You come every time you pass into it, drop 100, 1 million there on the table. I won't notice you. Am I blind? Like one man of God said, he said, Jesus only saved me, didn't he blind me? Do you understand? Of course. So, we're not, so unfortunately, people now use that. That's why I keep on, I drop it once in a while. See, if I don't bless you, you don't listen to me, don't come near my office with an offering. Otherwise, thunder will send you outside though. Okay, what is your problem? I wouldn't know, of course. You know, I probably wouldn't, unless the Holy Spirit just speaks to me back here. Don't take it, kick him out. The Holy Spirit does that once in a while. I know. There will be manifestations. That's what happened to Elisha now. Now man came, hey, no, it's not time. There are times, you know. Everything has a time. So he said, no, it's not time to receive. It happens. But I advise you, if you really want to be blessed, you're giving me money and you really want to be blessed by it, make sure. One, most importantly, you've been listening to me. I've been blessing you. And this is just your way of saying to God, thank you. And that one is scriptural. No, that is very scriptural. It's in the scriptures. I don't want to talk about that now. It's in the scriptures. But please, don't start this manipulative thing that, as a young pastor, I like the grace upon Pastor Banky. Let me go and say, whoa. See, the little anointing you have, it will vanish. So just keep your anointing and keep your money. The number one way, we'll talk about it again, to tap whatever grace you think I have, get my messages. Listen, when I'm teaching, pay attention. Focus. When your wife calls, honey, say, honey, right now, I'm yo-yo bitters. So please don't honey me. I'm telling you, I am looking at this. Don't distract me. Maybe because you're streaming from home from far. That is when the grace flows. Not when pastors praying to them, please give that money for me, greeting for me, and then you go. Please don't try that. The Lord won't bless it. I hope you're following my point.
Yes, sir.
Back to what I was saying about the prophets. So my mother said, that false prophet. Now this was a statement. That there's nothing bad she predicted that did not come to pass. Nothing. And then when she said something good will happen, they hardly see it. But you see, what that does for those who, that's why my mom will tell you that, the other man I was telling you about, that refused to pray for that young man. Said that man was, because we used to go first in his house, once a week, he used to teach the word of God, powerfully. Teach the word of, powerfully. Then when it grew, of course, at the point in time, you know, people made benches, we sat outside and all of that, in his sitting room, in his house. Finally, he had to move the place from there to the church he attended, and they gave him a day where his people, where he could run his ministry. But that's how powerful his teaching was. My mom will tell you that that was what liberated her. That was when she stopped going to that woman to come and ask what the Lord saying. She realized that she can kneel down and pray. That man taught us, we were very young, we were children, taught us the word of God. He kept teaching. It was a job in my heart personally, you know, when I became, you know, older, where I could send him an offering. And I used to do that. He's passed on now. When I could, you know, in fact, I used to tell my wife that, you know, I'm warming up for the day when I ought to buy a whole car and drive to him and say, sir, take this. Unfortunately, he died before that day came. That was a plan I had in my heart. That, because he taught the word of God. One of the joys I had in life was when I sent him two books I wrote. You know, you understand the way it is? You know, this little boy that his mother used to bring for me to pray for is now an author of Christian literature. Someone day spoke to me, said, one thing he learned that he had never heard it before. He learned from one of the books I wrote. I said, I don't make him. I don't make up. Yeah, I'm blessed. Do you understand? If everybody says that you're not called, that's your problem. He thinks I'm called. He thought I was called. And my mother thinks I'm called. Who cares? But other people, my wife thinks I'm called. See, let me tell you the truth.
If all of you refuse to listen to me, I have captured my wife. See, the day I gave her father 200 naira, and he gave me 20 naira back. Since that day, my church was complete. I can't pump bikini on top. My children are now preaching. Ah, what is it? See, let me. My congregation is complete. God bless you. Even I'm not Greek come Bible study, I turn it to my sitting room. Look, good enough. My little boy here can play music and he can sing. He will be the praise leader. Put Akidu in charge of opening prayer and announcement and sharing small scripture before I come up. Wenga will take care of all the recording. Leave all those things. We'll have church in our house. What I know is that the man, he believed, I know, for me, it was a joy. When I just told my mom, please, when I said, simply, let me give him this. But the man read the book. So that small boy is now a preacher. Hey. In fact, my stomach is still sweating me today. As I'm telling you now, I am sweating. Is my English good? I'm sweating. Hey, thank you. Please, brethren, I'm telling you, get rid of false prophets out of your lives, out of your family. What you need is someone who instructs you with the word of God. You, as a man, as a woman, as a couple, you make decisions for your house. I'm not saying somebody shouldn't pray for you or bless you, but the primary thing, all right? But Paul says something, Peter says something, said there were false prophets amongst them, just as there will be false teachers amongst you. So what God expects, primarily, your relationship to ministers now is learning. Peter was more concerned about false teachers because the primary thing is learning. Don't let false prophets ruin your life. Now, you know, I know why I said that. You know, I began it from something. A lot of times, these false prophets, what do? They present a prediction to you. Which is what my mother was saying then. That the woman came one time and said that, they should pray and fast that she sees death around the house. That's another thing. Those who say, I see death around you. I see death around the husband. See, let me just tell you something. Those who will die, will die. You're trying to cook. See, let me tell you. If they see that death, they can't stop it. Take my word for it. The death they said they saw, they can't stop it if they really saw it. They can't. Unfortunately for many people, that validates their ministry. That this woman told her that she was going to die, and he died. Next time they will go back. Are you foolish? He told you somebody will die. The person died. Does that not tell you that he not get power, he not hold power? Do you follow my point? It should tell you that he or she doesn't have the power. Unfortunately, people use it, it breeds fear. Because the man of God said, I said, let's begin to pray. So in your mind, you did not pray as hard as you were supposed to pray. Came around my mother's family house, and she told them. I heard this much later. There's the show off. My mother said, we did everything she said. The day my auntie was given a chieftaincy title, it was the day her only son died. My cousin. It was later when they were older, my mother now referred to that this woman came, predicted it. Told them to fast and pray. And they fasted and prayed. And the guy still died. And it was a tragic, it was well, there was nothing wrong with him. He was just celebrating. While celebrating, they drove the mother's vehicle, pickup. The driver hit a pothole, he fell off the back. That's all. And for some people, that validates her ministry. No, she's a familiar spirit. Whatever. User. And she cannot offer. I've said, deliverance is only in Christ Jesus.
Oh, yes.
Let me tell you how to be delivered. Get on your knees and say, Lord, deliver me. That's deliverance. Hey, let me tell you, If you will pray sincerely to the Lord. Yesterday night, something happened. I was just thinking to myself. I said, God, you do answer prayers. Oh. I said, you do answer prayers. I pray we learn to pray sincerely. I keep on recommending this night wake up. Now, please, not because that is when the spirits move. Please, I keep on telling you that. You can pray during the day. It's just that I have personally found out that first, it kind of makes you feel very serious, number one. And there's nobody, there's no noise, there's no distraction. Your head is very clear. And you cannot, and see, speak to the Lord simply. Please, please remind me, I'm getting back to my message, all right? I know what I'm talking about. Talking about the fact that I don't know what I'm talking about. But I'll get back. I need to sit on this. Please. No, if not, I say it once in a while. When you want to pray, one of my children posted something on the status a few days ago. And I told my wife, this is what I've been saying. There's a pastor they follow, all right? He says something. When I saw it, I said, this is so true. He said, the proof. How did he say it again? Was it you that posted it? Which one of you posted it? That the proof that something, that prayer is effective, is the answer. Something like that. There's a way they worded it. He worded it. I said, my God, this is what I've been telling people. I said, look, who are praying? No, I don't go. Go. They won't know whether God answers them or not because they don't know what they say. Do you get my point? They say, let's begin to, okay, I will not tell the story. One man was telling the story. He met one man of God. They went to meet him. The guy just came in. He just said, let us pray. You close the door. And that's the next 8 hours. And my man, and why are you talking about it as if it makes sense? It doesn't make sense. If I were you, I would leave. You guys are not praying. I know Pentecostals don't like when I say it. You've been there for 8 hours. What did you say? To who? About what? Said the Holy Spirit is helping you. Pray about what? About corruption in Nigeria? About your destiny? A lot of Christians pray. You know the truth? They don't expect any answer. They didn't make any request. Let me just warn you. Some of these things you said, I'm charging on my spirit. If you want to charge your spirit like that, if you turn it to a battery, it needs charging. You cannot do it without the word of God. Why don't you live your life the way Jesus did? Like we're talking about it here on Tuesday. On the cross, when everybody surrounded, when he was being beaten, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? We thought he was lamenting. He wasn't lamenting. He was reciting Psalm 22. That is the first line of Psalm 22. He recited the whole psalm in his heart. And if you go and read it, the whole psalm is just the picture of the cross. You can't charge your spirit without the word of God. You can't. You can't. Where I'm going, when you want to pray, brethren, like I said, it can be any time of the day. When you can, it can be low, you can concentrate. If you stand, it works. If you sit, David sat before the Lord. Do you get my point? It's fine. But I find it when you kneel or lie down, it kind of gives you a kind of... That, now, this is just a practical, personal thing. Say, Lord, I want to see you. Help me. Do this for me. Open doors for me here. I am confused about this. Give me direction. Say it as much as you know how to. When you're praying for your life, brethren, that's all you need to do. Don't raise your voice. It's unnecessary. The neighbors don't want to hear your troubles. You wouldn't raise it anyway. When you really want to pray sinner's prayer. See, all this noise you are making, you know you are not serious. See, all this noise you are making, even you know you are not serious. If you were serious, you don't want your neighbors to hear your trouble. Am I lying? If you're really serious, you want help, let me tell you, nobody will hear your voice. If they ever hear anything from you, it's when they think grip you. And when you are saying it, brethren, you know what you are saying. Even though you say, you know what you told the Lord. Lord, this pain is great. Take it away. I told the story, our brother told me last time. He's a neurosurgeon. He says, sir, I just witnessed a miracle. My patient's brain tumor just disappeared. A patient I scheduled for surgery. And she asked, what happened? He said, we prayed. The other guy that couldn't walk, he scheduled for surgery. He walked to his clinic one day and said, please, doc, can we postpone this surgery? That one said, why? He said, because I've been walking all over Enugu. But today that I came to your clinic, I asked them to drop me at the gate. I walked 1.5 kilometers or almost 2 kilometers to this your clinic. And I asked him, what happened? He said, somebody prayed for me. If you will pray sincerely, God will give you the kind of testimonies that will baffle even you. You know, there are times I have to tell the Lord, what was I praying? Maybe you've forgotten that the Lord took you seriously. You know, you pray by a small thing, a mundane thing. And you now wonder, Lord, was that you or did it just solve itself? It was the Lord. That's how you solve your prayer. Stop chasing prophets up and down. I need to warn those who go from house, prayer house to prayer house. You are looking for trouble. The only thing you're allowed to go around looking for is instruction. And I don't mean you jump everywhere. But I just mean that your heart should be open like her. I need to learn. That is where your victory is. The Lord must be correcting you. Regularly, you are dropping bad habits and picking up new ones. Let me use the expression. You are dropping wrong spirits and you are picking right spirits. I will say something about grace. See, when you have filled your life, whatever spirit you are filling your life with, it automatically attracts things to you and repels things from you. It does. One of the things I should quickly mention around that area, making right decisions is a spiritual habit. Okay, how do I say that now? What I mean is this. I found out that one of the major influences the filling of the Holy Spirit does in the life of Christians is that it instructs them in what is right to choose. Did you hear what I said? Okay, let me say it again. Let me say it another way. Now, I'm saying this from experience. I'm looking back over my life, over things I've witnessed and all of that. And I realized that, you know, a friend of mine came to Enugu, one of my classmates came to Enugu years ago. And he said something. He said, at that time, now you guys were wise. We made some decisions. For him, his own decision turned out very badly. By the time he came to Enugu, he was looking for space to where I could get employment. By that time, I was a specialist, employed, teaching students and a hospital consultant. He had gone over the world and settled. He now said, you guys were wise. I never forgot that thing because I didn't think we were wise. We were just making simple decisions. Sometimes I tell my wife how we met and all of that and how we got married. I said, it wasn't sense. I make a joke of it till today. I said, I just finished sharing the word because my pastor was late. So they said I should preach at my convention. So afterwards, I taught one of the seminars and the young woman just came to me and said, she wants to ask a question. I've told the story many times. So I tell her, I said, is there an angel that brought you? I said, come, let me introduce you to somebody. She didn't see any angel. I said, well, I know what happened. Don't think you just got up by yourself. I said, an angel said, come. See, the Lord said you are going to marry that guy. And two of you are going to go to Enugu. And you are going to preach the gospel. And you're going to have children that are going to serve the Lord. And they are going to preach the gospel also. So how do we start it? Yeah, come. When he finishes preaching, I'll take you some, to go and meet him. She didn't see anybody. I said, that's your problem. But that's what happened. And as soon as, of course, I've told the story many times, she came, asked me a question that I was tired. I said,
to her. The answer, I can't remember that question. Okay, who, why should I remember the question anyway? What is he doing? Who question help now? I mean, I don't know. I said the first question, it takes a long time to answer, and I've spoken twice today, so I'm a bit tired. It's okay. But she has two other questions. They're shorter. There are three of them. So I answered the second one, answered the third one. So when she finished, I looked at her like, ah. Oh, my God. But in my heart, I just said, fine girl. And I said, okay, that first question, you know, there's, maybe later we'll settle down, you know, to dig deeper, huh, and see what the word, what the Lord is saying. As soon as she left, I ran to go and meet my friend. Jules, Jules, come, come. What happened? Man, come and see. She had disappeared. For evening, we gathered again. So you see two men. Anytime you see two men walking around the hall, they are not praying. I've told you guys, they are not praying. They are not praying. You see, I know what I'm doing. From experience. Do you know how many people that have stood on these my cameras? And they've been filming. Let me not say more than that. They know themselves. They know themselves. They say they are filming. They are filming for the kingdom. They'll be zooming in some areas. We won't say more than that too. Let's just be quiet. The Lord works in mysterious ways. Thank you. So I look back over a lot of those things. Like I said, those days, I will get up, I'm on leave, I go to a church to go and sit down for 2-3 weeks to work, to preach, to write Bible studies, to write scripts. I used to think, so I look back at all those things those days, and I wonder, what was pushing me? What was the push? What was the push? It's not intelligence. It's not a plan. It's a spirit. I'll call it today the spirit of destiny. It's the reason why I hear one message by Miles Morrow, and the next year of my life is Miles Morrow, morning, afternoon, and night. And I used to do one funny thing. Not only, in fact, there's one big pastor in Port Harcourt now. I recorded the messages and sent to him. That's what I used to do. When a message blesses me, I start carrying it around. I'm not joking. A message blesses me, I can record tapes, 10 tapes, and carry it. Now, take. I used to spread those things around. In fact, that pastor, what I first did to him was Bishop Oedipo. 3 tapes by Bishop Oedipo. I said, sir, this will change your ministry. He listened to them. Next time I heard him preach, he was just repeating the messages. That was what I used to do. Just gather material. What was it? It was not, you know, I look back. It was not sense. It was not planning. It was the spirit of destiny that just gripped us. The spirit of destiny is the reason why I'm in Enugu today. Everybody's, I said, one of my big bosses came to town and said, what are you doing here? I look at the guy, what do you mean? He told me stories. It is dangerous in Nigeria of today. And that was 20 years ago. People tell this Nigeria of today. I said, this was 20 years ago. That the country is divided, you know. You have to be amongst. It's when I told me a story that during the Civil War, that his father had tenants. Who were Igbo men from the East, and they were businessmen when the war broke out. That do you know that my father hid them throughout those guys didn't leave the house. That my father had to feed them throughout. And I feel like I say, but sir, you've just told me why I should stay. I don't know whether you're getting my point. God sent you or father to take care of people. His father had a big company, apparently. They were his tenants. When war broke out, they couldn't go anywhere. That man locked them inside his house for, how long did the war last? Is it 3 years or 3.5? He locked these men inside his house for 3.5 years. They couldn't walk, they couldn't do business, and he fed them for 3.5 years. I felt like I said, Oga, if God could use your family to do that for somebody, you don't think God has prepared people here to do that for me? I don't know whether you're getting my point.
So he was saying, you see, that's why you have to be careful. Oh. I said, but the story just told me it's where I should rest.
But he was so emphatic on the fact that that period was so dangerous that those men were locked inside a house. Of course, not inside a prison, just their compound. They can come out maybe at night, they can take a stroll, but they couldn't go out on the street, they could not go to the market, they couldn't do their business, because there was tension everywhere. The same man now came to me, that, where I am. So thank you, sir. But this way was my mind, was that my father's friend, in his own hometown, by his own kinsmen, he and his family were burnt inside his house because of chieftaincy tussle. By the way, the man I'm talking about used to live in Enugu. All the years he was working for the federal government in Enugu, nobody killed him. Then retired and went to his own house and his own people killed him. You see, there's no way you can run to for safety. Safety is of the Lord, though. Safety is of the Lord, though. I'm talking about the spirit of destiny. That was what we drank and was driving us up and down. A man told me, big man, I told him my friend Pastor Courage, I talked about him, that he's in Sokoto, he's been in Sokoto now for about 25 years. Oh, yes. More than that, maybe 27 thereabout. And then he has now moved to Maiduguri. So half of the time is in Maiduguri and all of that. I'm from Maiduguri, of course. Many of you know the one I told you about, the Bill program that's going on. They go to places, Gombe, they go to different places. All right?
Ah, he said, hey, man of God, if God tells me to go to Maiduguri, I will not go. I laughed.
I said, sir, do you know why you will not go? He said, why? I said, because he has not told you. As if he tells you, now this is what I said, the spirit will enter into you. It's for us to stop you that will now be the issue. The ghost spirit will enter into you when God gives you the commission. Not the one that you're saying, I will not. I say you will not go now because it doesn't make, look. So a lot of people that will jump up and move around, go like my friend does. How many times you hear me say I go somewhere? That go up and down spirit God didn't give me. The primary spirit I have is to sit, teach, record, disseminate, broadcast it. I'm talking about the spirit of destiny. So I say one of the major things that the Holy Spirit does for you, he helps you make the right, he helps you obey God. You won't hear a word, yet you will know what is right to do and you obey. That's what the infilling of the Spirit does for you. See, so what we do, I was saying at the beginning, as believers, is to drink of this right spirit. Now, the Bible talks about, did we read somewhere just now? Yes. Okay, yeah, we did. Isaiah chapter 11. But the one we read from Isaiah, Hebrews chapter 12. He said, we have come to him. Let's read that again. I'm talking about the fact that if you drink the right spirit, you do the right things. Without being conscious of it, that spirit of destiny will lead into the center of God's purpose for your life. It will choose your wife, it will choose your husband for you. You will know what is right to do. Hebrews chapter 11, chapter 12, let's just read that again. Quickly, let's go down to verse 20, just to... From verse 22, I want to just read quickly so as to save time. He said, but you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, as whose names are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect. And to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks better than the blood of Abel. I read this to emphasize that word, the spirit of the righteous made perfect. What does it mean by that spirit? People have said that, no, these are the perfect saints. No. Those saints are included in the general assembly and church of the firstborn, whose names are enrolled in heaven. What do you mean by spirit here? I don't want to be dogmatic, but the point is this. We read from Isaiah chapter 11 to see that when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, all right? Now, when I say Holy Spirit, I don't mean, now, please get this point. The word spirit in the scriptures uses diverse, and what God is doing each time is very different. For example, this spirit you see now, the one we're talking about, Isaiah chapter 11, the spirit of what? Wisdom and understanding. Just go back to it quickly. The spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and strength, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Now, it's as a result, what will happen? He will delight in the fear of the Lord. When the spirit comes upon you, it will cause you to delight in the fear of the Lord. This spirit is very different from the one that I told us about in the same Isaiah chapter 61. When he said, the spirit of the Lord God is what? Upon me, because he has anointed me to do certain assignments. This spirit here is the one that purifies you, takes care of you yourself, turns you to who the Lord created you to be. Because as you can see, one of the things it does is to teach you and lead you in the fear of the Lord. I hope you're getting my point. Now, your job as a Christian, I've been saying, is to go around drinking of the right spirit so that you will become who God created you to be, and so that automatically you will do the right things, and the right things will be attracted to you, and the evil things of life will be repelled from you without even you knowing that they are there. He said, you have come to the spirit of judgment made perfect. Now, this is my own thinking. You can differ from it, all right, a bit, but the core of it is actually accurate. I think that what he was saying is that this spirit coming upon people, all right, one is the spirit of God. When he used the word spirit, I think he's referring to this. You see the Bible talking in Revelation about the seven spirits of God that has gone out the whole earth. Seven eyes represent the seven spirits of God. Seven lamps represent the seven spirits of God. Now, this is where I'm going. I think here he's talking about those same spirits that cause men to be purified. That is, you've come to this, you go to that list. Listen, number of things. You've come to God. You've come to Jesus Christ. You have come to the sprinkled blood. You have come to angels. You have come to the assembly of the firstborn ones whose names are written in heaven. I think as part of it is you have come to the manifold spirit of God by which men are purified. Now that's my understanding. Do you follow my point? That is, when you hear the word in scripture, the spirit of Elijah is not Elijah. It's the spirit of God walking in Elijah. So if you hear me use words like the spirit of David, I don't mean the man David in himself giving me a spirit. No, I mean the spirit of God that walked in him to perform certain functions. Like earlier I told you, the boldness with which he faced the lion was after Samuel poured oil on his head. The boldness with which he faced the bear, of course, was an angel that killed the lion, was an angel that killed the bear. All he needed to do was face them. And let me just tell you, in your life, that's how it is. Face your challenges. God will kill them. Do you hear what I said? Face your challenges. God will take care of the rest. It's wrong that God said you should not do. Look, if you know the scriptures well, David took a sling and in he killed a whole giant. If he had used a catapult self, would the giant done, he go die. See, if David had taken ordinary feather at that point and blown on Goliath, Goliath would have died. You know why? Because there was an angel deployed to kill Goliath. So the angel looking at David, are we ready? David said, yes. Oh yeah, let's go. And they were running. The angel don't forget David. What David was eating, putting stone. The angel don't go ahead. See, many of the things you see physically are stories that God gave us to tell.
Yes, sir.
Did you hear what I said? God often gives us a story to tell. Bringing down Goliath was an angelic assignment. Okay. If you don't believe me, let me tell you another story so that you can believe me, so that you stop arguing in your heart. How did Israel overcome Amalek? Was it not because somebody took a spear in his hand? Wasn't it Amalek? No, when Joshua went to war, it was I. Thank you. Joshua took his spear in his hand and pointed in the direction of the city. That battle did not go. He just pointed his hand like this. And that was victory. When they were fighting, and Moses, that was Amalek, right? Yes. How did they win? Moses put up his hand. Did he go to battle? The moment I want to tell you to even prove to you very well was when, what's the name of our guy? Joshua, the same Joshua, Jericho. They were circling the city. They now shouted. And the wall now, it didn't crumble, it entered the ground, all right? Let me ask you, go and walk around anything you like and shout at the end of the day. Carry loudspeaker, self. Carry a million people. Is it going down anywhere? An angel on assignment. Roland Bock told the story of the visitations he had. An angel told him the story. That they were on the top of the wall, waiting for a signal. When they got the signal, they pushed the wall down. And I believed it. He had told the story before I went and read Bollinger's analysis of it. That the wall did not crumble. It went down like, it just sank. That's why each Israelite will go ahead. You can't be climbing over rocks that when it was standing straight, the bricks were, it was wide enough to take 8 chariots. Tell your neighbor, face the challenges. The angels are waiting. Tell somebody else, face the challenges. The angels are waiting. See, there's a personal conviction that the Holy Spirit... See, let me tell you as a believer, I was talking about grace, eh? Expose yourself regularly to the Word of God, to the right spirit, to reading of Scripture. Take this Word of God and read it regularly. Chant it. Take it and read. Make sure you're always purifying yourself. You know why I'm talking about that? Because when the Holy Spirit fills you, one of the things He will give you, all right? Because, you see, in this life, let me tell you, somebody will give a testimony. Like somebody said, a motivational speaker spoke. Say, if it's yours, say, you got to fight for it. Fight for it. And that person said, if it's your own, you don't have to fight. It will come to you. So one I said, guys, make up your mind. Are we fighting? Or we are not fighting? In this life, you will hear all kinds of stories. A lot of people say, when I started out, I was focused and focused. Most focused people have failed, they have died. But they are not here to tell you the story of focus that leads to destruction. You only read the stories of focus that led to prosperity, to breakthrough. Focused people also fail. Where I'm going is that in this life, you just have to trust first. You just have to interact with the Word of God. You just have to drink of the Spirit of God regularly. Because when God wants to lead in a particular direction, all right, He will give you a confidence of spirit to start something, to begin to do something. It's not the fact that your focus that's the issue. It's that this came by the Spirit of God. And where I'm going is that before you start, He has sent His angels ahead to help. But they won't do anything until you take your own first step. I believe the word is for somebody. They won't do anything until you take your own first step. But this is how Satan makes us feel. He will show you all the troubles, show you the Goliath, his brothers. So you know what you will do? You will turn around and say, this country is terrible. You don't start businesses here, they will die. And God will say, there's nothing I can do until you agree to get up and start. He always has an angel out to help his beloved. His loved ones, his servants, God always sends help ahead of them. Sometimes the help will come literally as human beings. That's a small aside. That was not my message. I was talking about David. David did not have that boldness of spirit until oil had been poured upon him. So we Christians, what are we doing?
we are going around soaking the right spirit. Remember, every spirit has its judgment written. And the Bible did something, all right? It wanted us to understand something. This is what I think. He compiled the whole story. You know, he said, you've come to what? This Mount Zion. To what? The spirit of just men made perfect. That story was written in Hebrews chapter 12. That statement following Hebrews chapter 11. Where the just men made perfect were listed. Are you getting my point? Please, don't miss the high point of today's message. I'll try my best to finish on time, but I'm really rushing it, okay? Because trying to get it out, there are so many things I will end up not saying. But please listen to this. Now, let me tell you a story I've told many times before. What happened to Jesus Christ between the age of 0 and age of 12? Okay, at the age of 2. You remember them carrying him somewhere, right? Arise, take the mother and the child and run to Egypt. Around that was sometime between, maybe around 2, okay? 1 to 2, we're not very sure. Then no other story again till the age of what? And what did he do? He was in the temple interacting with the elders as they were ruminating and discussing the scriptures, right? 12 to 30, did he hear anything? Nothing was told us about how he lived life. Do you know why? It's simple. One day I was studying the scripture, Holy Spirit just led me to see it. I said, but it's Hebrews chapter 11. Let me summarize it. Everything you want to know about Jesus Christ, you know where it's written? Between Genesis and Malachi. Every single thing. See, this whole life is complete, written from Genesis to Malachi. Completely written. Now, one of the things you will notice, especially if you go to Hebrews chapter 11. Now, Hebrews chapter 11 was written on instruction. The Holy Spirit dictating. Everything you see. See, each person that lived. Now, listen to what I'm saying carefully. Each person that lived, especially that you see the story there, the spirit of just men made perfect had an effect in that person's life. And that's what is written. Do you get my point? For example, you hear of Rahab. All right? Rahab was what? A harlot, all right? How did she become a harlot? See, people become harlots for different reasons. Some, they don't even know harlotry is not life. Do you get my point? Their mother is a harlot. Their grandmother is a harlot. The aunties are harlots. They think once you're a woman, that's the job. I know one woman, I read her story like that. Okay? I won't tell the story now because I don't have time. That's one reason. Second, some go there to look for money. Third, some didn't go to look for money. This is what they call human trafficking. A lot of slaves those days were harlots. Not because they wanted to be, because that's what the slave master wanted. Do you get my point? Now, in the midst of all of these things, we don't know how Rahab became what she was. But no matter where it started from, we know where it ended. When Rahab heard, let me summarize it. When she heard the story of redemption, she would look for how can I connect redemption. When the preachers came, now I'm adapting the story, you know, you get my point. She called them and said, please come. Tell me words by which I will be saved. Say, we need a place to stay first. Come and stay here. We need security. Enter into my roof. But before you leave, you must tell me the way of salvation. So they said to her, you hang this red thread representing the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We understand now. And bring everybody you can into your household. You will be saved. That spirit took that woman into the lineage of Jesus Christ. You can be there arguing with her the fact that she was a harlot. All that God remembers about Rahab for eternity is that she ran for redemption. When I gave it to her, she held on to it and dragged as many people into it as possible. Rahab is the spirit of redemption. Are you getting my point? Rahab is what? The spirit of redemption. Any story, let's not talk about Abraham alone now. You know, Abraham's story is about the longest there. God will tell you by faith he left, by faith he did, by faith he... Listen, those, basically, the life, at the end of the day, you know what he said? How I know that's what Jesus Christ's life was. When he finished, say, you have seen this story. He said, what do you now do? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. Now, this is the point I'm making. Everything you see about those men is in Christ Jesus. All of them. Everything about those people is in Christ Jesus. Or was in Christ Jesus. So that the Father now said, this is my beloved Son. When he said it, listen to what I want to say. It is because he drank all the spirits of those people. The spirits of just men made perfect. The spirit of the Lord that was in them, that was manifesting different ways. Every single thing was in Christ Jesus. Now, listen to what I want to say. That was why he could receive the Holy Spirit without measure. There is no boy that the Holy Spirit came upon that did not destroy if he was not well prepared. I'm telling you. What do you think he killed Samson? Holy Spirit. The anointing of God, if they give you heavily, all of you are shouting, Father God, anoint me. Because if I anoint you, the way you are right now, 6 years, you are dead. What do I do? Go and prepare. Go and prepare. That's what he's saying. There must be a spirit of just men inside you before the Holy Spirit can be upon you because you want to go and do work. Otherwise, you see, you know what Jesus Christ did? Before the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, first he taught these guys for years. Then finally, after resurrection, what did he do? He breathed into them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. There was a spirit inside them. All of that put together now prepared them for the Holy Spirit to come upon them in the day of Pentecost. Men who have not been built up in their spirits inside, when you anoint them, they become eventually false prophets. They start initially heavily anointed. Everybody is following. Glory is very heavy. You need to pray a prayer, God, don't anoint me more than I can carry. Do you follow what I'm saying? So, what do I do then? Because you see, God needs to anoint you for you to fulfill his assignment in this life. So, what am I supposed to do? And that's the assignment. That's the teaching for today. You have to make sure that you drink of the spirits of just men made perfect. Now, let's get practical now, and then we'll finish the message. One. We've read, take it to your spirit, right? What did Paul say in 2 Corinthians chapter 6? Chapter 7 verse 1. He said what? Cleanse yourself of all defilement of spirit. I've said again and again that the Lord, what did he do? He separated the light from the darkness. You have an assignment in your life. Brethren, please let me get practical. You have an assignment in your life. Any spirit you see that you don't have, that God talked about, or you have seen that it is good, you must drink it. You must imbibe it. You go to Hebrews chapter 5, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. And the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, and all of that. See, you have an assignment. Sit down. Write all of them down. And we say, Banky, where are you there on this level? Are you listening? Each one, analyze your life. Each one, analyze your life. I was saying last time, I said I had a guy, an acquaintance, who said, hey, I know I'm not generous. Said, Why are you lying? A criminal like you. But the point I'm making is that if you see, something happened to me when I was in school. Now, 20 naira that time, who can give me an equivalent of today? You were not there that time, so who's old enough? I mean, who can appreciate 20 naira of 1989? Okay. You can. Okay. Okay, so let's just say something between 10 and 15,000 naira. Yeah. That's the value. So this was 10 naira of those days. I was in my room. Some of our brothers. So some people came in. One of them, a lady, one of our sisters. Not in my fellowship, another fellowship.
So one brother was playing with her, took her bag, opened it, and took 20 naira. And of course, he was playing. So just think about it, a student now today, somebody opens your bag and takes a bundle of notes, 15,000 naira. So, of course, we all knew it was a joke. So after a while, he gave it back to her. And she said, no, you can have it. And close her bag. I said, no. The guy was a bit senior to us. He just said, no, you can have it. No, the guy said, I was just playing. He said, no, not a problem. No, you can have it. She was a student, she was doing my junior, all right? I remember, yeah, she was about 2 years my junior. I said, what? You know the funny thing, it didn't cross my mind to check whether her father was very rich. I said, a human being can give a normal human being this amount of money without blinking on this campus? And I didn't do this. I told myself, I must do this. I know, I said, this, I must do. This, I must do. My mind was that, how can somebody be so free with money, so unattached to money? We're young people. This little woman, I remember she was about 2 years my junior, because I remember her other friends, the same circle. I said, no, this one, I must do. So one day, I don't know how long after, good enough, I had some money. One brother came to the room. He was saying that, he was going to try to do some things that, so this is what he's going to do. He will need this amount of money. So what he was going to need was 15 naira then. So he can calculate what that will be now. So, okay, he needs to get the money. I just opened my box, dipped my hand. I said, this is the first 20 naira towards that 15 naira. My friend was there, almost fell down. So later he came and said, Banky, what was that? I said, I just gave the man the 20 naira. Why? I said, nothing. I just wanted to give him 29. Like, are you going to get it back? No, I just gave him 29. Which in today's like something between 10 and 15,000, and we're students. The guy was like, no, something's happening. What is going on? He didn't know. I saw generosity. And I said, this spirit must not pass me by. I said, no. Like, how can? Like, one of my brothers told me that, I said, he went once to church, I think in Lagos. And he heard people say that, okay, so they gave $1 million. He said, you give $1 million as an offering. In his mind. Now some people say that, you know, they are rich people. He said, no. Somebody gave $1 million. Father, see me. I don't have $1 million. But I must join that league. And when God made it possible for him, he gave $1 million and, not $1 million of today now. $1 million of like 15 years ago or 10 years ago. 10, 15. Like, Father God, I want to say thank you. That at least when they are recording those who just got up and gave $1 million, my name is not there. Do you get my point? I'm using as an example. I'm watching my time, so let me really get to the thing I want to say. Two things we have as an assignment. I've said it again, I just want to reiterate it. One, drink all the good spirits the Bible talks about. The fact that you're born again doesn't mean you have it. It just means you can get it. Simon was born again. Peter told him, you are still in the gall of bitterness and the bondage of iniquity. He was born again. The Bible tells that he believed and he was baptized. He believed and he was baptized. Yet, Peter said, can't you see your life? Can't you see your life? I don't want to talk about Simon now. I would have told you things that must have happened to Simon. He had this deep desire to be accepted. He wanted to be the big man anywhere people gathered. I've seen it before. And people now, they come into church. They want to come. A Luther boy. You know what they call a Luther boy? Freedom fighter. All those campus boys. They give their life to Christ. They want to do a Luther in fellowship. You've not seen them? Okay. If you came to campus fellowship, you'll see them. The same thing that happened to Simon. Simon needed that, he needed to be the man. He needed to be. That was why he went into occultism.
That was why he got power, spiritual power, and began to do what he was doing. Now, that was taken from him because he had believed. Inside church, they now want to level him. The guy said, I lie. When Peter and John now arrived with the manifestations of the power of God, he said, but give me this thing too. Here is money. And Peter deciphered what his problem was. You know, listen, brethren, please let me, I will finish this message. Please let me try, all right? See, sit down with your life. Don't lie to yourself. Don't try. You have to pray to God to help you. There are Christians that have a problem with pride. It's why you will not go forward in life. There are Christians, they say, have a problem with, they have a competitive spirit. I'm telling you, see, some are still angry. And you know, last time I talked about bitterness. Get rid of these negative spirits. They are ruining your life. Listen, this is part that pains me. They are ruining the next generation. You will have children, they will have problems. That one pains me. You set them up negatively. Sit down and, in fact, if you have some very nice spiritual friends, ask them, please be honest with me, what do you think I should change about my life? And don't use your energy. Once you've heard it, go and pray. But is it true? And then settle down and get rid of that nonsense. Because Simon was born again. He was still in the... That guy was still angry with his father. Iniquity had kept him in bondage. Time will not allow me to start talking about some of those things now. Some people just feel in their life, I'm a failure. Who told them? I don't even know. Maybe when they were young, maybe somebody. And talking, you know, my wife and I were telling something the other day. There's a guy I know. A Christian, a non-believer called me the last time because I intervened. There was an issue. I intervened. I said, please, take it easy. You know, that kind of, there's something that happened. I can't give you details now. I just told that guy, please, those are your comments. Let him not see them. Let him not see them. He said, okay. So he now called me later because he saw the wisdom in it and thanked me very much for intervening. And I said, why is this guy, like, listen to this. Why is he so full of bitterness like this? Now the person who's saying thank you is an unbeliever. He tells me he worships ancestors. The person he's talking about that he said is full of bitterness is a Christian. What pains me, I said, this guy does not know this thing about himself. Those of us who are believers, we have seen it. These are non-believers saying, why are you so full of bitterness? Brethren, you have a responsibility to get rid of every wrong spirit inside you. A lot of wrong spirits we have, if you know how it started, time will not let you. Let me. I will have explained. See. Let's leave that. Let's talk about how to drink the right spirit. Because I need to give you the keys. I told it a few stories earlier. I walked into a bank. I saw the way a man reacted. I said, God, can I have this kind of gentle spirit? Sometimes I have friends. When I see the way they take up issues, sometimes I don't concern them. I say, bank, if now you go answer. I say, lie, what do you concern me? And I said, that's not the right spirit. I need to say this. You know, I've said it before. Mercy does not give you a blessing. You know, I've told it before. What does it do? Suspends judgment. It's suspension. It does not wipe it out. It suspends it until proper atonement is made. So if you're experiencing mercy, you still have work to do. The only thing that brings blessing is what? Obedience. We can say it like this, having the right spirit of obedience. There is something you are supposed to obey. You must obey it. You must find, now first, you must find out. Elihu said, it's a prayer that God will send you somebody to tell you what is wrong and what is right for you to do. You must pray it. No matter the challenges you've prayed, God has answered you. God says, see, this thing has to go before your blessing can come. What is it? I don't know. You will pray. You will pray until the Holy Spirit reveals it. You must pray until the Holy Spirit reveals it. How do you get the right spirit? How? Let me just get down to it quickly. There are a number of points. I thought about it. I wrote down a number of things. Four of them. Is it four or five? Let's start counting.
Number one, I think. Okay, I'll give you, shall I give you our steps? Not really steps, but points, okay? Elder John said hints. Okay? Number one is admiration. Number two is supplication. Three, contemplation. And four, preparation. Number one is admiration. Number two is supplication. Three, contemplation. Four, preparation. These are the four. One, admiration. Now, in this life, the truth is, spirits are looking for who to jump into. Let me just, you know, I've said that before. Everywhere you go, I was watching some people analyze some things. If they want to give you a psychological explanation, but some of them is not psychological, it's spiritual. You go to certain parts of the U.S., the proportion of transgender children is 10 times that of other parts of the same U.S. People say it's social media. That is true. That is true. Social media allows them to contemplate, and the Spirit rides upon the waves into their hearts. Those are spirits of confusion. The Bible talks about an unclean spirit. Spirits of sexual deviancy, lack of identification of your proper identity, is what the Bible calls unclean spirit. Those spirits need to, they jump across. So when people open social media and they keep watching some things, and that's what Satan does in this world. He puts things in your face. He wants you to see it enough. If you focus on something enough, spirits enter you. No, I'm telling you. No, it's all over scripture. How did they get the spirit of healing? You have to look at that serpent on the pole attentively, intently. You have to look with a steady and absorbing gaze. The spirit of healing will come across. It was not unique to that pole. Many people did not know. It is like that with everything on this earth. As I'm talking about contemplation. When Elisha asked Elijah, give me double portion of your unction. What did Elisha say to him? He said, you have to pay attention here. He said, you ask for a hard thing. When he said you ask for a hard thing, it means it's not within my, I can't do it myself. But I know a principle. What's the principle? Pay attention. Elisha couldn't get distracted. He would have lost it. It's a principle. It's a spiritual principle. First, admiration. That's what I've been talking. Admire a good thing. Actually, I saw a video yesterday. I forwarded to my wife immediately. I said, watch this. You see somebody with a calm spirit handle a difficult situation. Please, don't let the world. The Bible says, woe to him that calls good evil and evil good. That's what this world does. They call good evil and evil good. One of the things they are doing in the world these days, they are trying to popularize amongst young ladies how nice it is to sleep with 100 men. Yeah, they are now, they are bragging. One can say, my body count is 500. Yeah, and she made a TikTok video, YouTube short on it. Now, you might laugh at it. You know what they are doing? They are trying to first, they desensitize you. After you've been desensitized, all right, they normalize it. They now put it on a platform for young people to aspire to. Now, what I want you to understand, no young man just gets, so this is what I want to do. Is when they look enough, a spirit enters into them. A spirit. You see those men that go and carry prostitutes on the road? Normal men don't do it. It's a spirit. I've heard of people that had that spirit before. See, there are normal women everywhere. No, they don't want to. It has to be night. And they have to go to a junction. And the person I'm thinking of is even a preacher. He's a preacher. His money, the spirit of mammon, entered him, opened the door for seven spirits more wicked than himself. Yeah. The spirit of mammon was what first possessed him. Then He got the spirit of Python. That's the familiar spirit, the Python spirit. They came in, and when they were coming, they looked like Abba. We need security. The only security they had was this adulterous, harlotry spirit. So they entered into the man. He go somewhere to go and minister. Then at night, he had disappeared from his hotel room. He couldn't control it. He couldn't control it. Why I know is because he came to look for help. He came to look for help by himself. It's a spirit. Why do we get the right spirit? Number one, when you see a good thing, admire it. You know what happened to Elisha? He's been with Elijah for long. It's not bad. We have to live for something. That is what we live for. You read the stories of a man like John G. Lake. Carry his book and make it your friend. It's a good thing to aspire to. And next thing, God gives. You know, Jesus says something. He said, if your son asks you for fish, will you give him a serpent? No. If he asks you for bread, will you give them stone? No. It's okay, good. So if you, even though fundamentally you are evil people, can give good gifts to your children, how much more would the Father give what? The Holy Spirit to them that ask him. At that time, the Holy Spirit, the way you know it, that came on the day of Pentecost had not come. Yeah, the Spirit was already being given. What does that tell you? At that point, you could look at Kai. This man has this kind of calm spirit. Dear Father. I mean, a man like Nathaniel. He said, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile. He said, God, my new name is Nathaniel. So, I was Bankole, Daniel, Olusinu, but now, I'm not Bankole, Daniel, Nathaniel. The Lord knows what you are saying. So that spirit you saw in Nathaniel, that you gave to Nathaniel, I have come to ask you for it. In fact, what I call number two and number three, I don't know which one comes first, but they go together. You ask the Lord for it. You ask in this life, if you ask God sincerely, he will give. Anything you sincerely ask him for, he will give. And then, like I mentioned, you show it to him that you are serious. Admire it. The man writes a book. The kind of spirit you love, read every copy you can get. See, let me tell you, it's not the letters. I find that spiritual things, they flow. So what you are doing, when you are reading, you are creating a channel. You are creating a channel. Those words, you are creating a channel. You are creating a channel. You are creating a channel. Last time I talked about Jackie Mize, Supernatural Childbirth. Take the book and just keep reading, beginning to the end. The testimony of Jackie Mize is a spirit. Just keep reading that book. What you are doing, you are creating what? A channel. What's the last thing I said? Preparation. What do I mean by preparation? Do you know the way you use your body determines the kind of spirit can enter into you or will not enter into you? If you continually act angry, the spirit of anger will enter. Then after a while, you can't control it anymore. If you continually act, you're not really angry. You're just acting out so that somebody can take you seriously. You act out impatience. The spirit finds it easy to enter into you. Be very careful. There's one girl, I read the story. She was testifying about deliverance. Don't know which book now. Her father smoked her whole life. She never smoked. Then one day, she got home. She got a call. The father had a heart attack. So she was rushing to go and help out. She jumped into her car, her father's car, and wanted to drive. So as she wanted to move, she looked. And there was a pack of cigarettes there that her father left. To calm herself down, she reached for one. And that was it. She was hooked the rest of her life. So according to her, she never coughed. You know, some of you here, I won't call your name, but you know, when you went behind your Laika, why are you laughing? Did I call your name? Okay, so when Laika went behind his father's house in Ibadan, and he took the one from Agbaku, the guy living next door. You know how you cough until your father came, say, ah, kilo she lembo. You coughed and coughed until your father came and arrested you and beat cigarette out of your life. But you get my gist, all right? Real cigarette, the first time you drag it in, you will cough and cough. You know, like, it's irritating. This girl, she didn't cough one time. She just took that stick, put it, slit it, and that's it. She was calm and she was hooked. That spirit killing her father just moved over. Bam. Now, see, cigarette smoking has its own spirit too. You start it as my guy. See, as you do those things, eh? Please don't, young guys, don't let your friends teach you anything. Because from smoking one small thing, one day you will sell your trouser to buy another thing. That's what I mean by preparation. Physically prepare yourself. Cooperate with the spirit you are asking to enter you. I mean, I gave an example of spirit of generosity. As soon as you finish praying for it, while you are contemplating the people that are generous around you, deliberately take money you have and share it out. You know what you are doing? You are cooperating. Another word we can use is cooperation. We use the word preparation. You deliberately are cooperating with the spirit that you, because these spirits, they use it. The posture of the body affects where they can get into, where they can't get into. As I tell young people, don't follow anybody to crazy places. Are you getting my point?
Yes.
Yeah. Your friends say they are doing party, you follow them. There's no light, leave the place. Just leave. You know that the light is dull. Just light is blinking. So, and please, let me just tell pastors, stop blinking light in church.
Strange fire.
Please. Stop blinking light. You know I'm blinking inside church. Please try. When we come to church, it's not time for... I ban you from artificial smoke in church. Please. Do you hear what I said? Pastors, listen to me. If I see artificial... Let me tell you one thing about artificial smoke in church. It's a statement to God that, God, may your Shekinah glory in his reality never enter here. Do you call the Shekinah glory? Yeah, the Hebrew word Shekinah, all right? Glory. The glory that you can see literally like a cloud. It moves. What you are saying, Lord, and you are mocking that manifestation. It's mockery. You're mocking it. So, young pastors, please just listen. No? Don't copy bad. It's not everything you see Americans do that's good. Or somebody is worshiping, or two people come to the front and dancing like Kenegin told us it's bad. So please go and sit down. Let all of us lift up our hands where we are and worship. Don't come and dance in front of us and be doing gymnastics. Thank you. We don't want ballet dancing inside church. Go and sit down. Do you get my point? It's not everything people do that's good. I just feel like dropping that. That smoke thing is blasphemy. You're mocking holy things. You're worshiping in church and you're now doing on a party. Do you get my point? When you want to do party in your house, you can blow smoke. You can even light fire, burn everything. It doesn't matter. It's your party. In church, please. The Lord is good. Let me let you go. Let's summarize it. How do you receive the right? Because we'll have to go back this again, because there's a second side of separating light from darkness, which is just as important as getting the right spirit. Time will not allow us now to talk about it. That's, you know, Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence. From it comes forth the issues of life. See, what your life will be like, is what I'm trying to explain. It's a result of the kind of spirit that's inside. Get rid of the negative ones. And the good ones, drink it as much as possible. I've been trying to explain to us today. We'll probably read some scriptures about it next time. One, admire what is good. Admire what is good. Admiration. Two, ask for it. Supplication. Ask the Lord. Look at that. This is my guy. Just has such a calm spirit. Spirit of faith. When his son was sick, I saw it wasn't, he didn't panic. He was just speaking the word of God. That kind of calm spirit. Tell the Lord to give it to you. And when you have the opportunity, contemplate upon it. Read all the scriptures. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. You keep on repeating that scripture. I have the spirit of love. I have the spirit of power. I have the spirit of a sound mind. I have a sound mind. It's my portion. In the name of Jesus. You keep on repeating it. That's what we're contemplating. Then, is that number three? That's the third one, yes. And one, I said, preparation and cooperation. Cooperate with it. Deliberately practice the art. That's what I mean. That allows the spirit to enter into you. So you can do it naturally. As if it is coming really from inside you. Just bow down your head. Please, my wife warned me ahead that, Pastor, this is what you say you want to do. Did you hear what she said? She said, I tried. Because I told her that I will finish preaching by 5 minutes past 10. She said, Pastor, do you think you can do that? I said, I'm a man of God. He said, okay, let us see. Let's say, Lord, we thank you.